Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties here. So today we are going to be reading from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, going into chapter 21. And we're going to be continuing looking at the life of Paul. And here we've gotten to the place where Paul is now reaching really the last of his days. And so let's read from chapter 20, starting with verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am announcing that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Chapter 21 now. And when he had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When he had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed on Tyre. From there, the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and we went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on the board. We went on board the ship and they returned home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you as we look through the life of Paul that we may that we may glean over some lessons for our lives that may speak to wherever we might be, whatever circumstance we might be going through right now in this season of our lives. Let it be an encouragement or an exhortation for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so here I've been going through this, just looking at prayer in the book of Acts and just studying really prayer anytime it appears in the book of Acts. And so here really is what, before we get to this verse, we'll read the context to that, but this passage is very unique, and it just made me think. I think for me, it made me think, if today was my last day, what would I say about the life I have lived? And maybe that's a question for yourself. If today was your last day, what would you say about the life you have lived? What would you be most discontent with? Or what would you be most satisfied with? Or what final words would you give? Probably a little too deep for this early in the morning, but this is what the passage has kind of made me reflect on when I was going over it. And so I want to explore three elements to life, because that's what we get to see here in the life of Paul. We get to really see his reflective thoughts almost in some way, or his final words in terms of his life, because as we read from this passage, we see that he's nearing towards that end of his life. And so I want to explore three elements to life, the journey, the destination, and the company. Okay, the journey, the destination, and the company. The journey is about how we live our lives, and the destination is really not about a person and not a place. I think most often we think about a destination being a place, but I think that our destination is more about a person than it is a place. And then the company that we keep, that it's about the people in our lives on our journey toward our destination. And so really I want to look at those three elements in the life of Paul and see how he kind of mentions some of those things here as he's speaking. And so before we get to this passage, it's quite a unique passage because we've gone through Paul with his company going through Macedonia, and now they've reached almost the end of their journey, and when we arrive to this place here, to this chapter here, what we see is that Paul has an understanding that his days are numbered. And so it says that he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And so I think it's almost like this, I don't know what kind of gathering, maybe like a mini, he has like a mini conference where he sends for the elders in Ephesus, and they all come to him, elders meaning pastors, overseers of those of the church, and then he begins to share his final words. And so, like I mentioned, the journey, the destination, and the company. And the first thing we notice here is the journey is about how we live. And in verse 18, here Paul makes a comment, and he says, and when they came to him, chapter 20, verse 18, it says, and when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. And so here we see that Paul is just telling them, this is how I lived among you. And he begins to mention just different aspects of how he lived his life. He says he served with humility, with tears, and even trials. He says he served with faithfulness to the delivery of the gospel to both the Greek and the Jew, that when it was hard to share, that he did not hold back, but he boldly shared the gospel. He shares about his concern for the body of Christ, that after he's gone, the caring for the body of Christ, and his, and almost a warning. He says that there's wolves among them that would divide them. And then lastly, he just talks about his sacrificial living, the life that he has lived, that for the most part, we know that Paul mostly worked with his hands, that he didn't want to be a burden to the church with finances. And so we see here just this, the life of sacrifice that he lived. And then we see that in verse 24, where it says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We see that him just reflecting in terms of how he has stewarded what he has received. And I think that's a question for all of us, is how are we stewarding what we have received from Jesus? And Paul has this understanding that anything, everything that he has done, his course and ministry, is not his own, but it's something that he received. And we ourselves, anything that we receive from Jesus, is that doesn't make us owners, that makes us stewards. And so for me, I reflect on how have I stewarded in this journey of life, of how I'm living my life, how have I stewarded what Jesus has given me? And then throughout this chapter here in chapter 20, we see that the journey is demanding, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Throughout this passage, you see that through tears and trials, and through plots from the Jews, imprisonment and affliction away, and that care for the church of God did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, working hard to help the weak. That there was much weeping on the part of all, embraced and kissed. And so all of those things that he's talking about, tears being shed, about there being an embracing, about imprisonment, about affliction, this journey that Paul was on, this life for him was very demanding, both in physically, mentally, and emotionally. And like all of us, we all in this journey of what we call life, we all face some level of demand on us physically, whether we're battling mental health, or whether we're battling physical health, or even emotional health, or through the life or circumstances that we're going through, that this journey about how we live our lives is not always quite as easy because of things that we confront along the way. And so really, that first element of our lives, the journey, this whole span of life, of when we die, they say the year we were born, and then they put this little mark, and then the day we die, and that little mark is that journey, is our whole life summed up. And the question for us is just how have we lived our lives in terms of that? Because that's what Paul says, you yourselves know how I have lived. And then the next thing, real quickly here, is the destination. And I said that the destination, most people make the destination about a place, but our destination is not about a place. It's more about a person. It's more about where we're gonna end up and who we're gonna be with. And Paul had an understanding of that just as he understood that he had received his calling and ministry from Jesus, he knew exactly where he was going. That he was going. That's why in Philippians, where he says, "For me to live is to die is gain. To live is Christ," is because for him, he had a. There's almost this understanding that of where he was going was to be with Jesus, and really, that's what our destination is about. We're not isn't what is heaven without the presence of God, without Jesus? It's just a place. It's nothing really. What makes heaven what it is the presence of God, is the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so when we're talking about a destination of who we're being called to, we're called to someone, and that person is Jesus. And so Paul had this understanding about his about his journey and his destination and where he was going. But then lastly is the company, is about the people in our lives on our journey toward our destination. And that is when we read in verses in Acts chapter 20, towards the end of that, after he does his whole discourse about his life, about his concerns for the church and how he has lived his life, we get to this very intimate, touching moment, I would say, in the life of Paul, that is captured here. And in chapter 20, verse 36, where it says, "And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all, and they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all, because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again." And also in verse 21, where Paul continues and visits other disciples, people that he's been discipling, people that he has poured out his life for, that it says, I like it says that they went outside the city and were kneeling on the beach, and there they prayed. And so Paul has these people that have walked with him in these places, and they're weeping. They're weeping because it says here, because of the words that he shared. These are his last words. These are the last words they're going to hear from Paul. And this is the last time they're going to see him. And so I can't imagine the emotion that is happening around that place. And their response at that moment is for raw emotion, just to come out. It says they're weeping and they're sorrow, and they embrace Paul and they kiss them. And so they show this love and care for Paul there. And then I like how it says, and on chapter 21, it says where they went outside the city and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. And I like how this, up to, I think through most of this study, looking at prayer normally was something that had, up to, for the most part, there was something supernatural that happened around prayer, or they were on their way to prayer. It had really to do with more, I would say, with church. It seemed more of a practice that happened in the life of the disciples. But here we see prayer more as just part of life. That prayer is not happening in the synagogue, that they're praying and there's no miracle following this prayer. It's just simply a prayer in the midst of life. And that kind of just reminds me that there are moments in our lives where we do pray, and whether it's someone's birthday and we take the time to pray for that person. I know that when I was a youth pastor and we would go here in Hong Kong, and we would go to the airport, and we were sending off youth that they were about to go to college. It'd be a lot of weeping, because it'd be the last time for some of these kids that they might not see each other for quite a while. And normally we would just pray for them. We'd put them in the middle and just pray for them and give them a prophetic word in the midst of the public. So it was always quite interesting that people would be looking at us. And that's kind of what we see here, is just this very intimate moment where they're taking in the moment of the last time they're going to see Paul, and they're weeping and they're embracing him, and their response is just simply to pray at that moment. And so, just to summarize the elements that we go through in our life, that the journey, which is about how we live our life, the destination, that is about a place. That is about a person and not a place. And lastly, in the midst of that journey and on that destination, is about the people in our lives on our journey toward our destination, of who the people we are with that surround us, that would pray for us and would be with us in terms of our life. And so this is such an intimate moment here, that we rarely get to see that raw emotion happening here, with weeping and sorrow, and an embracement here. So as we go into a time of worship here this morning, let's think about those things, about our journey or destination and the company in our lives, about reflecting, how am I living my life? If I was thinking about if today was my last day, what would I be saying about the life that I have lived? What would I be most discontent with? What would I be most satisfied with? And what final words would I give? And who would be the people that would be around me? So as we go into a time of worship, let's just reflect on those things in our lives. Father, we thank you for this morning and your word for this morning. I just pray for each and every one of us, for our lives and the journey that we are on for our life, that there's a uniqueness, that all of us are live completely different lives, and our story is each unique to our own. But we all deal with the demands of this journey, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or even spiritually as well. So I just pray that we may be faithful along the way, despite all those demands that we face on this journey, that we may have confidence that we have walked with a good conscience, that we have walked faithfully the course and the ministry that we have received from you. And that we may always be reminded that we're not called to somewhere, but we're called to someone, and that someone is you. And so, Father, I just pray that our eyes will be on you, that you are our destination, that you are our home, and that you draw us near to you. And so, Father, I just pray for the company that we keep in our lives, that you would put the people around us that are necessary for our lives, for this journey and that we're on, people that we can pray with, people that will embrace us, people that will weep with us. And so, Father, and that we can be that for others as well, that we can be the company that others need in their lives in terms of being embraced, in terms of weeping with them. And so, Father, I just pray for your word this morning, that it may be a seed planted in our lives that bears fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to our prayer today for our community, for those with cancer going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's go to our next slide. Let's pray for those that have an illness and also a need of salvation. Let's pray that they may have an encounter, that God would open up their eyes, that God would open up their heart to you. Let's pray. Let's go to our next slide. Let's pray for those that have infirmities right now. Let's pray for God's presence in their life for complete healing. Let's pray for those that have COVID. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Ernie and his wife, Shimmy, and for our frontline medical workers as well. Thank you. Let's pray for those, for jobs, for this season in terms of new greater opportunity. Let's pray for our mission focus, for China, for P-Reiki, and for the Chongs. Let's pray for those on the board. Pray for our fellowships, for our young adults, men's ministry. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for those that are pregnant. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this morning, for your word. We just lift up everything that we just prayed for. We just pray for healing over those that need healing in this season. And so, Father, we just pray that these prayer requests that we're lifting up in supplication will turn into testimonies of your goodness, of your power in our lives. So, Father, we thank you. I pray that you lead our days. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, and see you tomorrow.